news time. Okay, I have a list of things. And in this list of things is things that I was overwhelmed about at some point this week, starting on Monday morning. Would you like to read the list of things? I'm going to read the list of things, but it's not in my pocket. I've actually lost it. That's so annoying. I fully had it on a piece of paper. Is there a pink piece of paper somewhere with a list of things I'm overwhelmed about? This isn't a bit. I just lost it. It's on the floor. This is a receipt. Okay, that's all right. Oh, is that it? That's not it. Oh, okay, we'll give up. Here are some things I got overwhelmed about starting Monday morning this week. This talk, my future, what to cook for dinner on Wednesday, when to find the time to buy the things to cook for dinner on Wednesday, the youth team, my mental health, my weak attempts at relearning the Greek language, the fact I haven't exercised properly for months, my eyesight, feeling like I'm not loving my mum well, and I stopped at 10:34 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Life can be really, really, utterly overwhelming sometimes. And I don't want to sugarcoat that by any means. I know for a fact I'm not the only person that just feels like everything is happening all at once. I know that a lot of you in this room have a really, really hard time in life sometimes. And when I chat with you and ask how you're going, you say busy or stressed about this thing or a little overwhelmed. And I just want to say that I feel you. And that God feels you. Life can be so overwhelming sometimes. Here's a statistic that you might resonate with. Almost a third of young people aged 16 to 24 have had a 12-month anxiety disorder over the last few years. This is from a 2021 study that the Australian Bureau of Statistics did. That's a third of people. That's shocking. That is sad. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you have felt overwhelmed in the last few weeks, because I know that it will be a lot for you, a lot of the people in this room, but I just want to say, God knows. God cares. And God has done something way back before in the setting up the creation of the world to help with this and to help people find rest. I'm going to say up front, I'm not good at rest. And I don't think that you are either. And so we're going to work together and see what God has to say in his word about that is so important about slowing down and stopping and actually resting. And this is this thing called the Sabbath. The Sabbath, as we've been looking at the Ten Commandments given to the people of God about 4,000-ish years ago, these are commandments for people who God had saved, who God had rescued from slavery and given them a new name and a new identity and changed fully how they are to live. And his commandment number 4 is this in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now the Sabbath is like one day a week, one day out of 7 that's set aside for people to stop work. For people to lay down their tools or to close their books and to trust God. It's set aside to worship God wholeheartedly. It's a day to trust in the provision of God, and it's a day for our fragile human bodies and minds and hearts to slow down and to recharge and to rest. And this is something that God had set up back when he created the world. And 6 days, or the 6 time periods of as God created, he created everything, and on the 7th, he rested. God has sowed rest into the rhythm of this world, into the pattern of this world from day one. And so it is a very, very good thing. Now, the Sabbath has 2 kind of components, really. One is the rest element, and one is the worship element. We've been talking a fair bit about worship over the last few weeks, and so we're not going to touch on it as much today. But if you haven't been here, I'd really encourage you to listen to the talks on Spotify or something like that, or have a think about with your leader what it looks like for you to worship. But today, we're going to talk about rest. And this is a commandment because God's people need to obey it. Because God's people are not good at resting at all. It's really hard, right? It's really hard to slow down and to stop and to kind of cease doing things, because then things are a little out of our control. Or things might not get done as much as we might want to, but it's good because God has done this, has set this up, and has done it himself. And we see the reason here in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Set into the rhythm of the pattern of creation is work, 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 rest. And we're commanded to rest because God did and because it's good for us. I got a new laptop a few weeks ago. It's this one just down here. Albert just touched a button on it. Good job, Albert. The guy was trying to sell it to me and he's like, here's all the features. And I didn't know what any of them meant. But what I do know is it doesn't have the spinning wheel of death often. And it's really good for me sitting in a cafe and looking like I'm pretending to do work. The computer is great. It functions. It does its job. But the thing is, every now and then, I'm going to have to do something, right? I'm going to have to like get a cord and plug it in and recharge it. Because it can't run forever. It's not built to run forever. And let's be real, Apple will never make it so that their computers can run forever. The computer needs to slow down and to stop and to recharge and to reset. That's how it's been wired. That's how it's being created. And I think that we are a little more like this computer than we'd like to admit. Because in our bodies, we've been rewired. We've been wired to slow down. We need to slow down. We need to rest. And we need to stop and to spend time with our Creator. Because we don't have unlimited capacities. We can't actually run forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. If you do that, you will have a breakdown. Your brain will stop. You need to rest. We need good exercise, we need sleep, we need water, we need to eat well, and we need to actually slow down and rest because God has set us up to do this. So what does that look like? Well, that looks like one man, Jesus, because Jesus gives us ultimate rest. The picture that we see of Jesus throughout the New Testament is one of like huge power, victorious justice, and one of firm teaching. He's really, really clear and intentional about what he has to say. He's the Lord of everything. But yet, he's kind and tender towards his people. And so as we think about rest, the answer to true rest, it isn't a holiday on the beach in the Bahamas, or it isn't found like going for a walk and listening to your favorite song on your AirPods. True rest is in a person, and his name is Jesus. And here's where our second reading, our New Testament reading, is just so, so precious to us. So let's read Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The King of the universe, with no need to rest himself, chooses to, and he calls us in. He reaches out with open arms to you and to me. Come to me. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. You don't have to keep working. You don't have to just keep going until you collapse or die. Come to me. You have been created to have a relationship with me, says Jesus. And so rest in him. It's the equivalent of one of those days where you just have the longest day ever. You might have swimming training before school, and then like every single class is a new assignment task and a new feeling of overwhelm and something to do, and you've got an SRC meeting at lunchtime and then music tutoring after school, and then you've got some extended family dinner that you don't really want to go to, but you have to, and then you get home and you jump in your bed and your legs don't have to stand up anymore and your heart can slow down. And your brain can switch off as you drift off to sleep. This rest is a beautiful thing. And that peace that comes after the time of chaos is just so, so beautiful. And Jesus gives us this. This satisfaction that you don't need to do any more work to earn his favor. This satisfaction that you don't need to be more than who you already are. That is a precious child of God. We're made to know him. We're made to know him and to rest in him. And so come to Jesus. Listen to him. Spend time with him. Jesus doesn't guarantee we'll never feel anxious though. But the peace that he brings helps his people be content in any situation. Jesus gives us ultimate rest. Now, I want to say that it can be hard, right? It can be hard. It can be hard when you don't have anything in the tank to feel like, oh, I've got to read my Bible. I felt like that a few times in the last few weeks, I will be honest. I've been sick. I've been pretty worried about a whole heap of things. And it feels so hard to slow down when my thoughts are racing at a million miles an hour. I wonder if you feel the same. When you've got all the assignments in the world to do, how are you going to actually spend time with God when you can't think about anything other than your geography assignment? We're called. We're commanded by God. Slow down. Put Jesus first. And rest. Here's what Jesus has to say about the Sabbath. We touched on it just a little bit. Next one. Sorry, I'm skipping a few things for lack of time, but that's okay. The Jesus one. Back. There we go. Great job. So Jesus says in the passage we had read out, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And then elsewhere in Mark's Gospel, he says that the Sabbath, this period of rest, was actually made for man, not the other way around. The Pharisees, the people accusing Jesus here, said to Jesus, like, these people, they're not allowed to do anything. And they were bound by these rules. And as they were meant to rest in God, they were kind of restricted by the rules that they had placed on the Sabbath. But Jesus has given us rest. Jesus has given us a period that is intentionally for God. And so as you think about your week, when are the times that you are going to intentionally set aside time for God? To intentionally, because God says so, and because it's a good thing, slow down and put the thoughts out of your mind and come to your Father who knows you and who loves you. You might be thinking, I'm sick of just hearing about Jesus every week at Senior High. You might be thinking, sure, Jesus is pretty helpful, but I've mastered the Christian thing. I want to just keep moving on with my life. But the reason that we spend time with God is to refresh our soul. The reason we spend time with one another and point one another towards Jesus is because we so often forget the right thing, the most important thing. We forget to see how good God is to us. We forget that his love is so much bigger than our sin or our weariness or our shame. We miss the scale of his resurrection power, the guaranteed life to come. And we miss how nuts it is that Jesus, the King over absolutely, literally every single thing, says, come to me and you will find rest. And so guys, I'd love for us to think about what's stopping us from this. And how do we do it? So let's get some mics. I said Angus and Libby, you're gonna run around. I'd love to hear three things that are stopping us from finding rest in Jesus. Three things that are stopping us and three ways that we can actually proactively find rest in Jesus. What's stopping us from finding rest in Jesus?
School and time. I was thinking about like three things we could do. Plan out a timetable a bit better. And then what Ben does, he reads his Bible during breakfast. So I could start doing that as well.
Yeah.
And then instead of like scrolling on my phone before bed, just read my Bible instead.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think like if you don't schedule it, like the Israelites had a day of the week that was time with God. If they don't schedule it, it just won't happen because all of this will just keep happening, right? Thanks, Will. That's really helpful. Other things that get in the way? Ethan?
I would say sleep.
Sleep gets in the way?
Yeah.
Okay, how so?
Sleeping. So what I've found helpful for that recently in my own life is knowing that I want to wake up 30 minutes earlier than I usually do. So I go to bed 30 minutes earlier than I usually do.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty simple when it comes down to it, yeah. Yeah. Just like, whatever you're doing 30 minutes normally at the very end of your day probably isn't worth what you're doing. You may as well go to sleep and wake up earlier and get into
yeah.
work.
Absolutely. Thanks, Adrian. One more thing that gets in the way.
I reckon my phone gets in the way. I'm doing so much. Like I waste that much time on my phone. And so I've been thinking recently, I haven't done it yet, but taking a Sabbath for my phone on one day of the week.
Yeah,
so just putting aside my phone for an entire day. And like thinking about the whole concept of Sabbath is to focus fully on the Lord and to rest in the Lord. And removing the biggest distraction in that for an entire day would actually, you know, if I can't get through my day without a phone, what's going on?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Ben. I think if you want to realize why you're so overwhelmed all the times, one of the contributing factors will be the amount of screen time that you have in each week. That's a thing. I don't ever want to look at my screen time stats because it is really sad. When you contrast that with the amount of time that I've actually spent with God in a week, no good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing barriers and things that are here to help. There's so much to think about as we think about rest and the Sabbath. And I'm sad we haven't been able to spend like 40 hours spending time in this now. But if we just go to the quote, Albert, I'll close with that as the band comes up to sing or come to the altar. This guy has written this book on Exodus that I've been reading as we've been teaching through Exodus. And he says, this is what the Sabbath is. God is calling us away from our own business to transact the most important business of all, which is to glorify Him in our worship. And when we try to make as much room as we can for our own pleasures, then we miss the greatest pleasure of all, which is fellowship with the living God. Guys, Jesus is beautiful and Jesus gives us ultimate rest. So let's stand and sing of that now.